anybody can go out and get you capital. But one of our flagship programs that we do in-house is we help entrepreneurs access anywhere between $50,000 to $250,000 of 0% interest business credit.
Welcome to Investing in the US, a podcast for real estate investors, business owners, and aspiring entrepreneurs looking to grow their wealth by investing in US real estate. I'm your host, Reid Goossens, and so far, I've acquired over $800 million worth of investments on various properties across the United States. On this podcast, I interview go-getters, risk takers, and the best in the business to learn more about their investment journey and the cutting-edge strategies they are applying towards building a legacy. For more on growing your own wealth and by investing in the US, visit www.reidgoossens.com. Today on the show, I have the pleasure of speaking with Patrick Pachensky. Now, Patrick is a former US Marine Corps who transitioned from the service to scaling businesses. And today, Patrick runs Stacking Capital, where he helps ambitious entrepreneurs unlock $50,000 to $500,000 of funding at 0% interest so they can grow without drowning in debt. They can grow their businesses, their real estate investing. Really super interested to understand how Patrick does that. But without further ado, let's get him out here and welcome you to the show. Patrick, how are you doing today, my friend? Dialing in from sunny Florida. I was gonna say California. That's where I am. You're in sunny Florida, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, I am.
How you doing?
Thank you, Reid. I'm doing great. And before we dive in, I just want to let your listeners know, thank you so much for having me on. I want to tell your listeners, if they haven't already, to mash that like button and make sure to leave Reid a good review, because you're doing some good stuff out here.
Thank you, my friend. I really appreciate it. As we mentioned in the green room, you've come for bloody 10 years. I can't believe that. You know, I started this in 2014 and here we are 10 years later. So, but mate, not about me, it's about you. So tell me, and you like to ask all the listeners, all the guests that come on the show, rewind the clock and tell me how you made your first ever dollar as a kid.
Sure. Yeah. So this will be a vague memory because it was actually very early on, but back when I was maybe like 6 or 7, living in New York City, Brooklyn, big apartment. There was a catalog, Oriental Trading. I'm not sure if many of the older listeners might know what that was, but it was essentially like an AliExpress in a catalog. And my mother ordered a bunch of little dollar trinkets. And then I would just set up a little table with my sister and start selling them downstairs. So that's the first memory I have.
That's before Alibaba was a thing.
Well, yeah, that would have been in the 90s. So it was really before the internet.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, walk us through your journey. I mentioned in the introduction, you're a vet, US Marine Corps vet. Was it always a bit ambition to go join the service? And then, you know, how did you transition into becoming an entrepreneur?
Yeah, great question. So, yeah, I mean, since I was 14 or 15, I have memories of sending in those little inquiry postcards to the Army and Marine Corps. And then as I was, getting closer to graduating high school, you know, I got lucky where one of my neighbors actually was a Marine and started to sort of guide me into, you know, which branch I was going to go into, maybe what I could do in there. And I had joined the, similar to the ROTC, the Navy has the Sea Cadets. So I did that during high school, did a little mini boot camp. And at 17, I graduated high school and went to basic training right away. And after the basic training, I got deployed to Iraq right away as well.
Whoa, straight into it.
Yeah, well, there's, about 90 days. There's like about 3 months of basic training. Then you go through another training for combat training, basically. And then after that, you're shipped off to your MOS school. And that for me was a mix of Oklahoma, an Army base, Fort Sill, and in Coronado, California. So that was the reward. But it was funny because I hadn't even finished my school in Coronado, and I had already found out before I even checked into my unit that I was already getting deployed. There was some senior members going to that MOS school that were from that unit that saw my name on the list. And like you said, you're like, what kind of last name is this? Well, I'm super used to that in the Marines, right? So they recognize that name. They're like, we've seen his name. You're on a deployment list.
Wait, so you went to Iraq straight up as an 18-year-old kid?
Yeah. So I turned 19 in Iraq.
Wow. How was that? That's for someone I know, all praise to you for serving. That's freaking awesome. But you were seeing some crazy stuff.
Yeah. It's, I didn't go, I was there in, 2005, 2006. So it wasn't paradise, right? But, you know, a lot's changed too. And I'm kind of glad I went when I was young too. You know, that's, you know, being my age now, you know, I guess you start to learn a lot of things, right? And it's not as simple or cut and dry as like, oh, you're actually going to fight for your country. You know, it's a little bit more complicated than that. But sure. I was young. And when I was there, it was really more, it had nothing to do with politics and really more about watching, you know, your team six and making sure everyone gets home.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, mate, you're home. That's the most important part. I think that's going to war in any, you know, in any sense of it is you survive. So that's freaking awesome. And I don't want to bring up any other memories, but so we'll leave them where they're at. It's a happy show, but you know, thank you for sharing a little bit. So walk us through then the transition into what, you know, into entrepreneurship. Was there, you know, were you in the Marines and thinking, you know, there's going to come an end date at some point and I need to figure out something else? And was there something else before what you've got into today?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I told you since a young age, I sort of, the first thing I sold was maybe something from a catalog, you know, it was just a matter of buying low, selling high. But even, you know, as I think I was maybe in middle school when I really got into computers, I started to learn how to assemble them and everything. So eventually my neighbors started to pay me for somewhat like what you would call maybe IT work, hooking up their networks, things like that. I still remember, it might be hard to believe now that I don't have hair, but in high school, I started cutting my own hair and then I started cutting my buddy's hairs. And it was, again, just another thing that naturally turned into, I guess, like a side hustle or something. So there was always that in me. And I think it came from like my parents, you know, they're foreigners. They came here with pretty much nothing and always had that, yeah, drive and ethic to always find like a something for themselves, regardless of whether they're working for somebody or not. And that kind of leads me to the next thing, right? So like after the Marines, I had several W-2 jobs, but there was always something I was working on after hours. And that's, again, maybe goes back to the way I was wired, but I felt like I was losing time if I didn't.
No, yeah, it's a hustle mentality of immigrant, you know, family where it's the back against the wall and you've got to just, you know, use every hour of the day to make it work, to make something of your life. So, you know, kudos to you. So how did you get into the line of business you're getting into? And I don't even know how to describe it. It's zero credit, you know, and we'll get into the nuts and bolts of it, but what do you call the industry you're in?
Yeah. So business funding brokerage, business funding advisory. You know, what we do is a little bit unique, so it's hard to put us in a bucket because, you know, anybody can go out and get you capital. But one of our flagship programs that we do in-house is we help entrepreneurs access anywhere between $50,000 to $250,000 of 0% interest business credit. And this is an introductory offer, so it's typically anywhere between 9 to 18 months for these credit lines. But when you do it with us, we're able to get a large amount in a short amount of time. And then we generally always have a plan for your round two funding or round three. So if done right, this could be extended for several years. And the long game really is like, we recognize that this is short-term capital. So ultimately what we really want to do while you're working with us is we want to get your business bankable. So we understand things like 0% interest business credit, and maybe even a lot of those fintech products that are coming out now. So for example, if a business owner is using QuickBooks, QuickBooks might offer them a loan, or same thing with PayPal. Those are what we call fintech products. And there's a lot of them coming out now with decent payment terms, but they're still at the end of the day, short-term, high interest rate capital. So our long-term plan is to make your business bankable so that you could get approved for bank term financing with much more favorable terms and rates.
And how do you go about introducing those two concepts together? Like why are you able to use someone's credit as collateral and to get zero interest? Like, I think that's, for me, I would say, if I'm going to lend you money, I'm going to have one, I need a return on my capital, but two, what's the collateral there?
Exactly. I'm glad you asked that. So when it comes to getting any kind of funding, it sort of boils down to the three C's. So you're going to either need cash flow, you're going to either need collateral, or you're going to need credit. So when it comes to the 0% interest business credit cards, we're actually mainly leveraging your personal credit. Nothing to do. You don't even have to have business credit. And it's startup friendly too. So as long as you could have made this LLC 3 weeks ago, as long as you have your articles of organization and your EIN letter, you could be good to go. And you could, if you have a 700 plus credit score, you could be sitting on 50, maybe even $100,000 or $200,000 of 0% interest business funding.
How long is that into 0% till it ticks into an APR? Is it?
Yes, so that's a good question. So generally, average is probably going to be 12 months, but they range anywhere between 9 to 18 months. And like I said earlier, if done right, and what that means basically is at the end of those 12 months, we do this all the time, your 0% runs out. Let's say you have a Chase card, $20,000, you got the 0% running out. When that time comes, if you've managed that card correctly, made payments on time, and it's not maxed out to like 95% levels, we can then go and request another 0% card. And now that we've not only built financial trade lines on your business credit report, we've also built out the internal relationship with that bank. They're going to feel more comfortable not only giving you the approval, but giving you a higher limit. So oftentimes, if you have a $20,000 card that you've managed very well for 1 or 2 years, your next approval will typically be 2 or 3x higher. So you might get a $40,000 approval. And this is where we come in, because we'll help basically get you the highest approvals. We have a what we call like a three-step process. So first, we make sure that your personal credit is optimized. Then second, what we do is we optimize your business profile just to make sure that there's nothing like address mismatch. Maybe you have you don't have a website in 2025 and you're putting on the application no website. Little things like this do add up. They have systems out there to pretty much disqualify you before they even pull your personal credit. So these are the things that we take care of. And then the next thing is really coming up with the application sequence so that we can unlock the most amount of funding in a short amount of time. Because anybody in reality can go get a business credit card, but making this all work in a very short amount of time is where we really come in handy. And then also having that plan for afterwards, right? When that 0% runs out.
Do you ever get into the business of like lines of credit and stuff like that as it starts to, because essentially what a credit card is a line of credit, but it's just on the small side, right? Like I know for RSN, we have a big line of credit at a bank that we've got a long-standing relationship with in Austin, Texas. And yeah, we've got deposit relationships and all that sort of good stuff. So do you delve into the sort of the bigger tools to, you know, because $50,000 is great, $200,000 is great, don't get me wrong, but as you're trying to scale a business, that can run up pretty quickly. And, you know, there's only so many credit cards you're going to go out and get that you really need more of a facility to help really expand that business.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's a great question. So altogether, there's about 20 different funding programs that a business can take advantage of, that most businesses can take advantage of when they're not bankable. And that's, you know, what we're talking about in terms of immediate financing. So lines of credit is definitely possible, but you'll typically, aside from the credit, you know, the requirements you need for business credit cards, which is just to get the conversation going, a 700 plus, no derogatories, you're going to need that on business line of credit side of things too. But you're also probably going to need more documentation. So either tax returns or bank statements. And this is a bank term lines of credit. Right. Like you're talking about like with your local, you have a relationship with your bank and you have a line of credit with them, right? Yeah. Yeah. So that would be one option. Another option for businesses that are maybe 6 months to a year old and have at least 10,000 in revenue, they can go the alternative financing route. And instead of going through like a bank, they're going through, you know, an alternative lender. But these usually come at a 20 to 30% interest rate. Your best bet is going and getting that line of credit from the bank, but not everybody is approved typically for that.
Yeah. Like my line of credit on a couple of $1 million, and I'm not trying to beat my own drum, it's, you know, about 8%. It's a revolver. It does pretty well. And the more deposits we have with them, the bigger we get to go. So yeah, like it's such an interesting thing because, you know, talk to me a little bit about like how your philosophy is around getting debt early on in a business. Because I know, like, you think of like the Mark Cubans of the world who like do not go get debt when you're first starting out. It's particularly on a business because it's so risky. So how do you have any other services or do you have any other advice for people as they're out there looking at really assessing, does this make sense to go out and get $200, $300, you know, essentially early stage funding for your business, when you may not have a proof of concept yet?
That is something that we take care of from the very beginning. So our consultation call is actually a consultation call because sometimes, you know, a lot of people might think that capital is their constraint, but it's really just cash flow,
yes.
You know? So,
which means it's revenue, right? So if you don't have revenue coming through the door,
exactly.
You don't have any cash flow.
Yeah. And it could be like a very, and I get it too, because when people are in that situation, it's like you're in a hamster wheel. It's kind of really hard to see, right? Because you're in that motion. So that's what we do, really. The first thing we start off with saying is, hey, how much capital what do you need it for? How fast do you need it? How much does your business stand to make from that? Because a lot of times you'll find like you get these ridiculous numbers like, oh, I need 500. I need $2 million. And it's like, well, hold up. Let's take a couple steps back. What's your plan for this money, right? What are you planning on doing with it? And what's your first step? What's step one, you know, in terms of making an ROI on this money? And what you'll often find is most people don't need $5 million to start, you know? You know, what's funny is like there's, you know, clearly some businesses where you might need capital to start, but for a lot of opportunities out there, you really just need to see if anybody even is interested in your product, right? Like how many people have, like you ask yourself maybe, how many people have you pitched your offer to, right? Because what's the sense in building everything if nobody's really interested in it? Well, I call it like the marketer's way, you know, like get a product offer fit, see if people want it, and then pretty much, go to town. You don't, a lot of times, maybe need to buy the equipment. You can rent it, get a deposit on your first deal, whatever it is, right? It's a little vague because we're talking about, you know, I don't know what somebody might be thinking of starting, but most of the time, you just need to start asking the right questions.
Well, the natural question for me to ask you is, you've probably seen, have you seen people that have come to you, you've probably seen the gambit, right? Where they've come to you with fully fledged ideas, established little revenues all the way through to, I've got an idea and you're just like, meh, an idea ain't worth shit. You know, you've got to go and show me some actual, you know, a little bit of runs on the board. Otherwise it's, you know, we're not going to do this. Because and obviously for your business, getting out zero, you know, you're a broker, you get commission. Turning people away, but maybe it's the best thing for them and for you that you don't, you know, sign someone up for something that they're just not ready for. So I guess how many people come through your door that you've got to be like, look, you probably need to go, you know, get that minimum viable product more set and come back to me in 6 months when you've got more data to show me that there's something here to lend against.
Yeah. So they naturally fizzle out, but it's a good bit, you know, it's 70%. The way our business works, it's like, through the process and the system, they'll naturally fizzle out. So much like the banks I talked about earlier, you know, every time somebody like a financial institution wants access to your credit report, they have to pay Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion for that data. So invest heavily in a lot of software to pretty much run a scan on your business and be able to sort of pre-qualify you before even having to do that. We have a very similar software that can do that. So it all starts there. And that's what I mean by they start to qualify themselves. If somebody is not willing to run a free assessment on their business to tell them exactly what their weak points are on their business, their personal credit, you know, it literally tells them what they need to fix to unlock more funding. And it gives them a funding range of how much they might be able to pre-qualify for now. They're not willing to go through that. They're not willing to give us a copy of their credit reports. Then we know they're not ready. They're obviously not serious about obtaining the capital, or maybe they just don't trust us and there's nothing I'm going to be able to do at that point, right? So then we just let them go. And all throughout the process, there's sort of things that we have like that along the way.
Firstly, great, because it just weeds out crap on your bit, on your end of the side. Do you see opportunities where you're like, oh, I'd like to invest in that, you know, that business? That is, you know,
100%.
Like, because, you know, you then become not a broker of giving them free credit cards or free zero, but it's like, hey, I could go raise equity for this and like get investors involved and really start to, you know, boost
or consulting
the
for equity. Yeah.
Right.
All the time. And, our company has been in extreme growth mode right now. So, and the only reason why that has happened here in the past year is because I decided not to chase shiny objects.
Gotcha. So, good work. Good,
because
good idea.
In the line of work that I'm at, you come across them every single day. You're like, wow, tell me more, right? But what we've begun to do is pretty much bring it into our ecosystem. So we start to have conversations with those people, sometimes to even help vet what they're getting into, but also to see if maybe that's something that we could potentially bring into our ecosystem as well. Because, you know, that's what I was going to say too. So like along the, like, there's two sides to our business. There's one where they could run the scan, see what they pre-qualify for, and go get funding. They pay nothing up front. They just pay a success fee on the back end based off what we help them get. Then there's a whole advisory side. So literally, if somebody was at a 650 credit score, but they understand that this is sort of a 60 to 90 day plan, and they want somebody, right? Because there's like $10,000 courses out there that will show you how to pretty much build your personal credit, build your business credit, and work your way up. But I've bought them all. And the whole reason I started this was because I saw that a lot of people were stuck. They, after making a huge investment, they were still stuck. They were missing that one-to-one component. So we have a lot of time where we're working with them. And going back to what we said almost at the beginning of the show, if cash flow is the main problem, we're going to bring that up to them. You know, like recently, there's a client that came in. They have such a great business model. It's one of these med spa clinics. So we had a really intense session getting down to what is the product that makes the most money, right? Because we're trying to get more offers out there. But if in order to get more offers out there, we need to be really clear on what our offer is going to be. We can't, you know, if we just market your business, that's like throwing up a billboard. Like nobody's going to stop and scroll like, okay, that's great, right? It's a med spa. But if we have a very specific offer for a very specific person, that's going to create eyeballs that turn into conversions, right? So we got into all of that. But that's all to say that we definitely take all that into account because it's part of becoming bankable. Your credit can be great, but if your finances aren't in order, it's going to be very hard for that bank to approve you eventually for bank term loans. So like that loan that you got yourself from a bank, which seems like you're at like a prime plus 0% rate, that you only get when, again, you've achieved that. You've built some business credit, you've got good personal credit, and you've got a great relationship with that bank, possibly even a good bank rating with them, which means like good healthy balances in those accounts.
Yeah, no, we do. And we do. And that's it. You know, just to give some behind the curtains on that, like I've had an unsecured line of credit with them, but it's unsecured against, it's secured against me for my personal net worth, but also around like, it was a rough rule of thumb was like 1 to 4. So for the amount of deposits I have or are having per year, I could get a quarter of that in a line of credit. So you know, round numbers, $4 million per year, $1 million in line of credit. You know what I mean? And that's how they sort of are looking at it. And now I've got them on the hook. We're buying a CPA business and they're going to be the lender on the business. Not a lender to me, a lender to go and acquire other businesses as the primary debt. You know, like you buy real estate and you go get a lender. You when you go buy a business, you can get a lender. They're going to be the primary lender, right? And we're bringing equity to the table. And now they're going to have an operating CPA business that has bank accounts. And, you know, that CPA business does nearly $6 million a year in top line revenue that's going to come through their, you know, wow, their bank account. So, you know, these are all the little things that come from being the provider of financial services. And it actually sort of really hit me today when I was on the phone with my, and I don't mean to steal the conversation, but like with my business partner, and we're talking about this loan and part of like this loan is that, hey, this bank is like, no, you've got to have deposit relationships with us. So you got to bring the business, the CPA firm's business deposits. But guess what else came up? Oh, we need credit cards for the employees. Hey, guess what, Mr. Bank? We need credit cards. They're licking their, and now I'm going, geez, they've just got the loan, they've got new deposits, and now they're getting credit cards off a very high cash flowing business. It's not too dissimilar to what you're doing because you're at the epicenter of, you know, given its different scales, they're an FDIC-backed bank, but you're similar, like you start to see things that pop up to say, I can help with that, I can help with that. And you don't want to be, as you say, shiny objects, but it's a difference of the scales of where you get into this world that financial services are so powerful for entrepreneurs like me who want to grow, you know, grow my, you know, portfolio of businesses that I own.
Exactly. And ultimately, really, for us, it's an ascension model. So it's all plugged into our system. It's just a matter of where you're at, right? So somebody coming into our advisory program might not even be to the point where they can get business credit. So if we need to start on the personal side, like building the personal credit profile first, while simultaneously building the business credit out, that's where we'll go. So I'm glad that you brought all that up because those are, you know, we start here with the 0% interest business credit cards because, again, you build that internal relationship with the bank. They're typically easier to get. They're startup friendly. They don't report on the personal side. And that will eventually graduate into more invitations from that bank. And when you work on your business and making sure that you have all those things, your finances are good, you have a good bank rating, you have your tax returns and all that stuff, you become the 1%, the bankable, because most businesses, and we have hard data to show this, about 99% of businesses out there are not bankable. So they'll always have to resort to that short-term capital, like the revenue-based lines of credit with high interest, just high interest, basically debt. So you gave them sort of a sneak peek of what they can get. And with bank term financing, you're typically looking, I wanted to ask you too, if that was through the SBA, but you're typically looking at up to $5 million and repayment terms of like 10 to 15 years. So that's sort of where our ascension model goes up to. And then with our referral partners, we can refer you to people if you're needing more than 5 million, then we're looking at more into getting into raising capital. Mm-hmm. And we have somebody that we would essentially connect you with for that.
That's great. No, I love the business broker. I love the brokerage model. I've interviewed a lot of people on this podcast around how do I get involved in entrepreneurship, right? And you're providing a service that is maybe not high ticket value initially, but you're providing a service that then can expand and have you as the book of business that, oh, you've got a problem, well, I can solve it through Johnny over here, or I can sort of solve it through Sarah. And you become a linchpin in other people's businesses that they can't run their business without you. So I've seen it, I interviewed, you know, 500 people on the show over the last decade, and this similar sort of things come up. And it's this ecosystem of creating a product which you've created successfully, you've created education around it, you created a really good onboarding process, which, you know, weeds out the BS. And then you created a back end with like, hey, Sarah needs an extra $1 million or we can't get that SBA loan. I've got other people to go out to. And then all of a sudden, like what I just described earlier with my CPA businesses, you're starting to offer other little ticket items, which is so, so sexy when it all works. You know, you just go, ah, mwah, beautiful.
Absolutely.
I love it.
I love the way you say it too, because in my head, I'm visualizing what we've spent the last 6 months in terms of that system. It starts with the assessment scan, but what happens is once they're done with that assessment scan, they're going to get a report right away that tells them again their weak points and then a funding range of what they might be able to get pre-qualified for. But what it also does is it creates a login to their dashboard. So everything that we just talked about of working that ascension model and getting, you know, there's a lot of things along the way we might need, maybe marketing to get some more revenue in, a website, all that's in our ecosystem. And basically from the moment you run a scan, they already have access to their dashboard. That again is unlocked via several milestones, you know, once they become a client, once they get into the coaching program of the long-term bankable programs. So everything's unlocked to not overwhelm them, right? But it's all basically on that platform that starts from them just running an assessment on their business.
I love it, my friend. Look, I could talk to you for hours, but we do have to be respectful of everyone's time. So what's the plan for rest of 2025? Where are you trying to, what's the goals for the rest of the year?
We're going to continue to scale. We're focusing more on scaling the affiliate partner side of things. We've invested heavily into the infrastructure on that and the rest. And we've landed a couple of what I call enterprise whale clients. And now we're looking to just get more to, I want to break the system that I spent 6 months building.
Awesome. That's, well, look, you got, it sounds like you from your Marine days can know how to break stuff pretty well, but if you're not willing to break it and then rebuild it to keep up with, you know, everything that's going on in the business, in the business world, I think that's, it's super important. But the end of every show, we love to dive into the top five investing tips. You ready to get into it?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Question number one is, what's the daily habit you practice to keep on track towards your goals?
Well, daily habit for me starts in the morning. You know, there's a lot of habits I could get into, but one that's super consistent is I literally roll out of bed and I start like walking and running outside. I'm lucky enough to where I, you know, within 20 steps, I have like a nice little running path. And there is where I really knock out a lot of things. You know, I run, I get my breath, my blood circulation going. I'm doing like jumping jacks. There's a lot going on in the body to wake it up. But at the same time, after that, I have my breathing routines, my gratitude routines, and just sort of praying and setting the intention for the day.
Love it. Love it, mate. Question number two is, who's been the most influential person in your career to date?
I have a good friend. His name's Sam Wiegert. And then interestingly enough, throughout my whole entrepreneurship career, I went to work for him. He ran a martial arts organization that had like 7 different locations. And I consider him a friend and a mentor. I learned a lot from him.
Question number three is, what's the most influential tool in your business? And when I say tool, it could be a physical tool like a, you know, notebook or a phone, or it could be a piece of software that you just can't run the business without. What is it?
Well, today it has easily become AI, you know, and I use a mix of a lot of things, but definitely AI.
Yeah, it's completely changed the game in how we do everything as well. Like, yeah, even emailing and legal work, you know, I can just, the other day I was looking at a JV agreement, I'm chucking it up there and it's, you know, I don't know why I'm paying $800 an hour to a lawyer for these days, you know.
And so, now we're getting to the point where it's getting agentic. So it's not just about chatting with them, but now they can actually start to do stuff for us without us having to talk to it.
In question number four, in one sentence, what's been the biggest failure in your career? What did you learn from that failure?
I think this is a good one because, again, throughout life, I think we're just going to continue to take L's as a business owner. And you just got to learn and keep going. And there's actually a very recent one back in March. I actually had two partners that came on board September and ended up being somewhat of a short partnership in the long run, basically. I just learned to deal with the problems ahead of time, you know, be upfront about them, and then make sure we have everything in writing. Yeah, for somebody listening, the best thing that they could grab out of that is, if you're going into partnership, don't, from day one, have an operating agreement with very clear terms for everybody, their roles and their expectations. And that goes for any employee in your company.
I love it. No, you'll love that. Exactly right. Setting up the expectations first, because things do come to an end and you got to have a way of unwinding it all in the bad times. So last question, mate, is where can people reach you to continue the conversation?
Yeah, the absolute best and easiest way, especially because we talked about the free assessment, the business scan we have, they can just go to stackingsuccess.com and they'll be able to go through that scan. They don't even have to talk to anybody to get those results. And then afterwards, if they'd like to, we can follow up with a call to go over their options if they're pre-qualified for anything.
I love it, man. Well, look, I want to thank you so much for jumping on today's show, just to reflect some of the things I took away. You know, first and foremost, seems like you're a guy that was really driven from a young age, like to go into the Marine Corps, you know, straight out of schools. You know, clearly you had a vision, and anything you set your mind to, it seems like you've been able to go out and achieve. So kudos to you for doing that. But I think in around the things that even I'm unlocking, you know, just this conversation we've had today, you know, the aha moments you have when you're asking someone for business lines of credit or help with, you know, launching that business. But then it becomes this thread that you pull on, and there's so many other more opportunities out there. And you're, as I said, I mentioned earlier, you're the linchpin of it all. So I think it's a really cool business that you're creating. And you know, we didn't really get into it, but that screening tool on the front end is so valuable to weeding out the BS, but also probably really valuable in identifying potential other things you could help business owners with. So, yeah, man, I'm super pumped for your success and seeing how it grows over the next couple of years. So, did I leave anything out there?
No, that's everything. Thank you so much for having me, Reed.
Awesome, mate. Well, look, I want to thank you again for jumping on the show today. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll catch up very, very soon.
Thank you very much.
Well, there you have another cracking episode jam-packed with incredible advice from Patrick. If you do want to find out more about him, go to stackingsuccess.com to find out everything about 0% business interest line of credit cards, all that sort of good stuff if you're in the world of trying to get startup or get funding for your business. I want to thank you all for taking some time out of your day to continue to grow your financial IQ, because that's what we're all about here on this show. The easiest way to give back if you like this show is to give it a 5-star review on iTunes or share it with some friends. And we're going to do it all again next week. So remember, be bold, be brave, and go give life a crack.